Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The blood washed away, but the guilt never does. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
Another trial, Karen Reed. It's going to come back up again next year at some point, probably. Because anything can change. I mean, initially it's set for January 27th, just a little over a month from right now. Both sides are asking for it to be pushed back a bit, all the way to April. Judge Beverly Canoe has yet to make a ruling on that as of this conversation. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, joining us to discuss this. Some new motions that have come out: judge denying access to the parents' phone records. That's something the prosecution wanted to take a look at. Going back to the evening or the very early morning hours of the tragic death of John O'Keefe. They claim that there were calls that were suspicious. I don't know what you deem as suspicious, but to her parents. And they're saying that in those calls, she was saying, you know, I hit him. And questioning that. That's what they wanted to get to the root of. This has been a case where it goes back and forth so many times. I hit him. I didn't hit him. She said it. She didn't say it. It's all very confusing. When it comes to looking at some of these pieces of evidence, should we have everything? Shouldn't we have a fair playing field? Shouldn't everything be looked at? I know that's very rare to happen in any sort of case, but what's your thoughts when we start having little bits and pieces pulled back here by a judge that may actually, you know, in some way, shape, or form, be beneficial to one party or the other?
I'm always, I mean, if I had a say, which obviously I don't, I think the more evidence, the better. You know, look at everything, weigh everything. And if it tips the scales one direction or another, well, if it's legitimate evidence, it really happened, why not look at it?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot in this case where there's questions on the evidence, on the legitimacy of the evidence. Prosecutors also wanted unredacted versions of the interviews that Reed gave to journalists, just the raw, basically we would call the cutting room floor footage, where, you know, you get the interview and you end up with about 3 minutes out of an hour that you end up using on television. But there's a lot that could be found in there. Is that something that, in your opinion, should be looked at by investigators as well?
Yeah, definitely. That would go in the same category of let's look at everything that's relevant. Yeah.
When you're trying to understand somebody and really get a grasp, of course, you have the police interviews. I'm sure there were psychological evaluations. When you're trying to gauge somebody and where their mind is at, where are some of the better places to do that, to get them into a comfortable state where they're going to open up and be their true selves and hopefully be honest? How do you set that up so they're open enough to do that?
I think helping them feel comfortable, and usually the police are pretty good about that. You know, when they have people in for questioning, they offer them a drink or they offer them food, or, you know, often they'll go along with the story, at least in the beginning of the interview. And that's all important, which is why this is videotaped now, or at least it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. It's very fascinating to see how people are still very much engaged into each of their sides and their tribes on this. We saw it during the trial. On one side of the street, you had the Karen Reed supporters in pink. On the other side, you had the John O'Keefe supporters. You know, it's weird that there's even a battle here, because I think at the end of the day, everybody just wants justice for this police officer.
Exactly.
But it really has gone far, far beyond that. The fact that everyone is still so dug in after we had a hung jury. Are you surprised by this at all? Just the vitriol that both sides still seem to stand with?
It's really interesting in this small community how it became this match of us versus them, and each side completely convinced that they've got the true story, and there's not really a very open mind in the community about, as you say, let's just get to the truth here, because that's what this whole system is all about, is justice and getting to reality. And it's this almost spectator sport at this point with the two sides and everybody rallying. It's unusual, I think.
It seems like we're, and rightfully so, I feel like the community is on a witch hunt against the police. I'm not saying that in a way of like, oh, they shouldn't be because there's no witches, because I think there's witches, you know, figuratively speaking. It's Massachusetts, you got to clarify. But I really do. I was just recently on a cruise and I got the chance to sit down and I met with some of our listeners, and they were from there. They were from Canton, big Karen Reed supporters. And immediately they threw a drink in my. No, we started talking, and I did, and it was a very civil conversation, and we ended up moving over into the Sandra Birchmore case a bit because there was obviously a lot of police misconduct there with some shared officers. They were unaware of the Brian Walsh case, which another seemingly fairly clear cut case, but again, you have some of these same actors in that one as well, and you end up getting this trend of. Some of these officers, and these are just the cases that we're talking about, of you know, not such on the up and up activity, not necessarily criminal, but weighting the scales. Like, let's really kind of push it in this direction or that direction. And there's this extreme sense of mistrust that the community seems to have with the investigators, not only just for this, but just think of everything, traffic violations, all that. It seems that they are very much fed up with a system that does not police itself and seems to be out of control. And at the end of the day, it feels like the death of John O'Keefe is getting lost in this mess as people are trying to reform their system.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. It's indicative of a bigger systemic problem that people have, you know, taken these entrenched positions. And yeah, how to get more oversight of police departments? That's going to be an ongoing struggle, I think.
Yeah, it just seems everybody is too dug in on every end, and nobody is digging out to try and find the common ground here. On the John O'Keefe, on the police side, I think a lot of them think there's no problems with their department, and their heads are buried in the sand. They'd have to admit that there's some problem. On the Karen Reed side, they know that there is, but nobody's going out going, okay, there is some problems here. Let's look at fixing this together, because nobody wants to live in a world like that, I hope, unless, of course, you're the person with the power. But it's just such a community where everybody, I believe, everybody thinks they're in the right. They genuinely believe it. I mean, the Karen Reed supporters, they weren't bad people at all. They're very nice people.
Yeah.
And really think that they are doing justice, and then they're doing the bidding for someone who is being held on. I get that. That's you know, very justice oriented. On the other side, they think they're doing the exact same thing as well. Yeah. Very convinced of it. Nobody seeming to be able to take a step back and see the other's perspective. Why is that? Why do we have such difficulty as humans just to see the other's perspective just a little bit to try and find that common ground? It seems like we used to be a lot better at that.
I think the internet has a lot to do with it, you know, with picking sides, and then we're flooded with, you know, biased information to support whatever side we're on. Mm-hmm. And I think it reinforces, you know, these intense emotional responses to things. And, you know, my take on this, we may never know exactly what happened, because there's just so much ambiguous data. And as far as Karen knowing, I don't think Karen did anything on purpose at all. Did she hit him? I don't know. You know, we do know that 4 to 5 drinks, people typically go into a blackout state. She had more than that.
Yeah, 9.
Yeah, quite a bit more. So I can't look at her as a villain in any way. If there was something that happened that, you know, she hit him, it was an accident.
Yeah.
In which case, this whole thing is just a very sad nightmare. But there's just so much ambiguity with competing experts and just another one of these messy, messy cases.
I don't think we're going to see a lot of progress in the next case, or in the next trial, quite honestly. I think it's going to see a lot of the same stuff. And they're trying to look at other evidence. Did she say it this way? It doesn't matter. Right. Like, she said it five different ways, you know?
Right.
And none of them were very clear in terms of her tone and what she was meaning. I don't know that we're ever going to find out the truth. And with that, I don't know why, or even if they should continue forward with this, if the prosecution should just drop this thing at this point for the sake of their community.
For the sake of the community, exactly. Let everybody settle down and go back to normal.
Yeah, it'd be something to see if they're able to do that when that new trial comes about in the next coming months, hopefully. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.